You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Everybody, it is Tuesday, September 12th, 2023, and it is indeed a heck of a morning. We are live on the MMA Fighting Twitter space. You can hear the show in its entirety shortly thereafter on the MMA Fighting Podcasting Network. Hello there, everybody. I am Mike Heck, and MMA is not real. It's just not real. I had to actually make sure 3 days later I wasn't dreaming, and in fact, I'm not dreaming. It is real. Sean Strickland is the UFC middleweight champion of the world. I'll say it again. Sean Strickland is the UFC middleweight champion of the world. And I have to say, you can say what you want about some of the things he says, how he acts, whatever. But I enjoy the chaos that this sport can bring. And to me, there is nothing more stunning, nothing more chaotic than what we saw on Saturday night. Because Sean Strickland did not flash knockout Israel Adesanya. There was no banana peel. There was no fluke, no accident, no nothing. Sean Strickland went to Sydney as a fan freaking favorite, dropped Izzy in the first round, and then beat that man's ass for the rest of the fight. He may have lost round two. He lost round two on all three of the judges' scorecards. There was one round that was kind of close, but I went back and rewatched it. Strickland, the judges all got it right. Sean Strickland won four of those rounds. This, to me, is one of the most impressive performances from a challenger that I have ever seen. This is just stunning. And the fact that this happened 3 days before the UFC and WWE merged together as one public company is the best. This is just the best, because it's just amazing how in this sport plans come to be. And then after 29, 30 minutes of action, including the 1 minute rest in between rounds, all the plans crumble because Sean Strickland, the man who was just brought in to help showcase Israel Adesanya in Sydney. They built this card around Israel Adesanya. He's just going to go in there and he's going to cruise. He's going to walk through Sean Strickland, and then he's going to go fight DDP, or he's going to go fight Hamzat Chimaev. Or they have all these plans laid out for the next 12 months. And then Sean Strickland said, "I don't give a shit about your plans. I'm going to beat that man's ass." And that knockdown in the first round changed everything. It was a snowball. Sean Strickland took round two off, in my opinion, after going back and rewatching it, just to kind of refill everything. And then he just beat that ass. He just beat Israel Adesanya's ass. It's insane. The whole thing is insane. And I love it so much. I love this chaos so much. And there are people out there going through like some of the comments and stuff, they're like, "Oh, Mike's so mad that Israel Adesanya lost. Listen, I was very confident, like 98% of the world, that Israel Adesanya would win this fight. I was exposed on Israel Adesanya quite a bit from a betting perspective because I like to place bets when we do the watch parties. But tell me one moment throughout the build to this fight where I said, I hope Israel Adesanya wins this fight. Tell me one time where I didn't say it would be the most chaotic and almost funniest thing that ever happened in the UFC if Sean Strickland wins the middleweight title. Tell me one time where I didn't say that I don't want to live in this world where Sean Strickland is the middleweight champion. Because you know what? You're never going to find it. You're never going to find it. And to me, as someone who loves chaos in this sport, I got exactly what I had hoped for. Everything's a scramble fest right now. Sean Strickland is the champion. Already broke the fucking belt and had to duct tape pieces of it back together. Like, all of this is incredible. It is absolutely incredible. And now there's a lot of talk about whether or not this is the biggest upset of all time, the most stunning result of all time. To me, it's number two. And I've been saying it the whole time. Sean Strickland goes out and beats Israel Adesanya. It's number two. I understand Ariel's point, as he talked about on the MMA Hour yesterday, that, you know, Matt Serra lands the flash knockout, GSP couldn't recover, and it was like kind of a flashy thing. Well, Sean Strickland, this wasn't a flash knockout. This is just one-sided dominance, and it made it so stunning. It's nothing's going to beat Matt Serra beating GSP. That was just that was friggin' wild. And just the way that all came to be, Matt Serra earns a title shot going through the Ultimate Fighter. To me, he lost the final fight to get to that title fight, but he got a wonky decision and then won the title. Like, that to me is going to be number one forever. But this is the clear number two. This is the clear number two for me, and I love it. I love it so much. It's so incredible. We had a great time on the post-fight show, just reacting to it all. Maybe my favorite post-fight show ever. We were laughing about it, and it's not like we weren't laughing because, like, in a disrespectful way. We were laughing because it's just always fun when the UFC has plans, and then a fighter just comes in and says, "F your damn plans. I'm going to ruin everything." And it's incredible. Golly, is it incredible. I can't believe we are here on this Tuesday morning and Sean Strickland is the middleweight champion of the world. This sport rules. It's the friggin' best. And you don't get this anywhere else. I love it so much. Congratulations to Sean Strickland, to Eric Nixick. Eric Nixick is the best coach in the world right now. He's one of the top 3 to 4 coaches in the history of the sport right now. And if Francis Ngannou somehow beats Tyson Fury, he's the greatest coach of all time, and it's not even a debate. And you can make that argument right now that Eric Nixick is the greatest coach in the history of the sport. There is only maybe 3 people in the world who could turn Sean Strickland into a UFC champion, and Eric Nixick, damn it, he did it. So happy for them. I messaged Eric right after the fight. He got back to me, and I just texted him. I said, "Congrats, man. The game has completely changed now, hasn't it?" And he goes, "Yep, it sure has." And I love it. So congratulations to the team. Israel Adesanya, it's going to be real interesting to see where he goes. My whole thing with Izzy is just take a break, man. Take a break. People feel a certain way about Israel Adesanya. I feel like some of that flavor has kind of lessened. I think people are just, I'm not going to say they're sick of him, but he hasn't taken a break. He's just been there and one of the most active guys in title fights all the time. Like, you can't, just like in pro wrestling, we can't miss you if you don't leave. And I think Israel Adesanya needs a refresh in a big way. Just take some time. And I know this. I know he wants to get out there and he wants to stay active and he wants to get in there and fight. And I totally get it. But there comes a time in your career, especially with Izzy, who's 34, it's time to take a step back, take a break, let things play out. And when Izzy's ready to come back, if he wants to, they want to throw him into a title fight, fine. I know Dana White said after the event, he wants to see the rematch because he felt like Israel didn't look like himself. And to me, I think it took away from Sean's performance. You can't say that. This isn't about Israel looking bad. This is about Sean fighting, as I said on the previous show, an imperfectly perfect fight. Like, the way you beat Israel Adesanya, No one saw it this way. Sean's defense was incredible. He stayed focused. He was patient. Izzy couldn't touch him. He couldn't touch him. Sean countered the counters, slowed things down. And I think Izzy expected him to be a lot more aggressive. Yes, he was in his face the whole time, but he was just waiting on Izzy. He was waiting on Izzy. He would throw, when he was ready to go, he'd throw a jab. And when Izzy was ready to counter, he punched him in the face with a big right hand over and over again. The teep kicks were great. Everything about this performance was spectacular. And to me, I have no interest in an immediate rematch. Zero. Zero interest. Zero interest. Give DDP the title shot. Give the Khamzat Chimaev Paulo Costa winner the title shot. I don't care. It can't be Izzy. It can't be Izzy. This was a performance that does not merit an immediate rematch. And this division is completely different now. We have so many guys in play. Robert Whittaker is suddenly back in the title picture. He's a win away from probably getting into that conversation. DDP has earned it. I think he lost on this a little bit. I don't think he's going to get it. I do think the Chimaev Costa winner is probably going to get the title shot. But DDP's right there. And if they just want to give it to him, I'm cool with that too. But like, it can't be Izzy. Izzy got knocked up by Pereira. He got an immediate rematch, won the belt back, and then just got – He got beat up for 25 minutes by Sean Strickland. Take a break. Just kind of hide away. Relax with your family. And then in the summer of 2024, come back and fight again. Even longer. If you want to wait till like the fall of 2024, cool. Because there's a lot of big fights you could do at 185. Right now with Sean Strickland as a champion. It opens things up in a way we haven't seen in such a long time. And the UFC should embrace this. And Izzy should embrace it. Like heading into the fight, like what else is there for Izzy to do 185? Now take a break. Take a break. Come back. The division is going to look completely different. Things are going to be much more interesting. So, man, this is incredible. This is just the best. Nice win for Alexander Volkov. The Ezekiel choke against Tai Tuivasa. Miguel Kopp and Felipe Dos Santos had a great fight. Kopp wins a unanimous decision. Then he said some things he probably shouldn't have said, but he apologized, so I'm over it. Justin Taffa knocks out Austin Lane in under 90 seconds. Tyson Pedro knocks out the Pleasure Man in just over 2 minutes. Good win from Carlos Ulberg. Shout out to the referee tandem of Herb Dean and Mark Goddard for getting that right because Daun Jung tapped. They went to the replay, and Carlos Ulberg gets a submission win. How about that? Chepe Mariscal, Jack Jenkins, fun fight. Chepe turned the tide a little bit and then kind of threw Jack Jenkins on his arm. Nasty injury. Chepe Mariscal now 2-0 inside the octagon. Jamie Mullarkey maybe got a little bit of a gift against John McDessie, but that was a fun fight. Mullarkey wins a unanimous decision. Nazrat Haqparast, unanimous decision. Charles Ratke, unanimous decision win. Gabriel Miranda and Kevin Josset kick things off with consecutive first-round rear naked choke submissions. So, look, this is a one-fight card, all in all. Maybe two if you want to count the co-main event. Miguel Kopp did a great job calling attention to the card, but this is the Sean Strickland power hour. Sean Strickland is the man. He's the champion of the world, and I'm so happy we are living in this place right now because chaos is the best. It is the absolute best. So let's go to you guys. I'm so excited to talk about all this stuff and get your thoughts on everything. So, Toke, kick us off, my man.
Glendera, my God, that was crazy. Again, I've used this analogy before, but I'm going to use it again. This is from Everything Everywhere All at Once. This is the world where they have sausages for hands. Like, this is nuts. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to disagree with you with what the next matchup is for Sean Strickland. I think the next matchup is whoever is ready in December. So I don't think it's going to be Costa Chimaev winner. I don't think any of those are coming back in December. I think Sean Strickland is going to be co-main under the Sean O'Malley Chito Vera fight. And whoever is ready there. So I think it's going to be DDP, but whoever of that group that you mentioned before is ready, I think that's the fight. And then I want to end on a somber note, just because I'm not going to be in this space for a long time. So a lot today, I have other things to do. So I'm just going to say, Blood Diamond, go get some experience, some other place. I'm sorry. You made some improvements. They tried to give you kind of a bottom of the roster guy, and you still couldn't pull it off. I'm sorry, Blood Diamond. You're probably not long for the UFC world. And Radke, watch your mouth next time. But anyways, that's it for me. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm sure ESPN isn't thrilled with Mr. Radke, but hey, got the job done. That fight ended up being more fun than I thought it was going to be. I thought Radke was just going to run him over, and he kind of did, but there you go. Yeah, December's interesting. I mean, Sean would definitely do it. I mean, Sean would fight in Abu Dhabi if they asked him to, because that's just the kind of guy he is. There's just so many fights that need to be made right now, though. We're still waiting on Leon Colby. Still waiting to figure out where the O'Malley-Cheeto fight's going to go in December. We don't know what's going on with Connor. We still got Yuri and Alex to get booked. So, I mean, look, you want to do it in December and just build on this momentum and do the Sean and Sean show? Not a bad idea. It's not a bad idea. But that December card is just, it's such a mystery right now because we don't know what the hell is going to happen. But we'll see. We'll see. And we got some time. We got, what, 5 weeks or so before UFC 294, which, by the way, I'm pretty happy about that. I've been traveling a lot. We've done I feel like I've done a million watch parties in the last 4 months, which I love doing them, by the way. But even like GC and I were in agreement, like, oh, I'm so glad we get like a 5 week break, get a little breather to like catch up, stay home for a bit. It's been a busy summer. August was insane. And then we get right back to a watch party. And then this next watch party is going to be like at 3 p.m. Eastern, which I'm so excited about. And then we lead right into 295 and 296. It's just going to be a wild stretch to end the year. So, yeah, but if they want to do the Sean and Shaw show in December, I'm down. But we got to see what's going to happen. If they're going to do December, then it's going to be DDP.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
Absolutely. What's up, man?
Yeah. So, first of all, I want to say amazing performance by Sean Strickland. I called it. I did say he can win this fight if he used his fundamental, if he kept his guard, always kept it in a very clinch or pressure for position. And he exactly did that. I'm also very glad he just stuck to his guns. Yes, he did break the game plan. You know, his coaches did want to try and take Adesanya to the ground, but I think for the better it worked for the most part, him staying on the feet because he mentally and physically broke Adesanya down. Now, before I get to any questions, I just want to ask. I just want to say about a few things to add to the convo. Firstly, Adesanya, he's one of my favorite fighters, amazing champion. I think rather than a rematch, he needs to take at least a 7 to 10 month break. Kind of what Kamaru Usman did this year, last year after he lost to Leon. Recover, heal up, replan and revitalize how you want to move forward your career because he doesn't have much time left. Sean, in the meantime, I could see him fighting DDP, or he will probably fight the winner of Hamzat versus Costa. If Costa was to win next month, that fight actually makes sense on a interest level because, you know, Sean has already expressed interest in the past to fight Costa, and I think that was around back in March this year. If not, Hamzat's a good fight. That also propels Hamzat into an interesting position to fight for the title. If DDP doesn't get the title shot, I see the UFC trying to make him and Jared Cannonier fight for a number one contenders fight down the line. And, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, the middleweight division is very interesting right now. It's kind of in the same spot. I would say the lightweight division was around the time Khabib in, like, Khabib was just became the title winner in 2018. We know we had Tony Ferguson, Conor, Dustin Poirier, and like just other contenders who were in that mix. I see the same thing right now with the middleweight. Another thing I just want to say is regarding this whole situation with the fight. I just love how a lot of doubters really overlook Sean Strickland because going to this fight, we saw how the fans were just rarely finding any way to dismiss his game, his fight IQ. Watching his last 7-8 fights, particularly his masterful performance against Imavov, his performance against Abus, even how he performed against Cannonier despite losing and Jack Hermanson, I think he rarely has shown, like from my point of view, I got to really truly see how good of a fighter this man is. And with his understanding of crisp boxing, very good jiu-jitsu, very good style of defense, he has mastered the art of avoid taking serious damage that most fighters are not very seem to be very prone to most of the time. And on that note, I'll leave it at that. I just have two questions to ask. How, based on this situation with the middleweight, what would be some of the fights that, if you were the promoter right now, what are some fights that you would like to see and, I guess, construct in terms of moving pieces around the division, who you will want, ideally trying to get the number one contender spot to fight for the title eventually. And my second question is, how do you see Colby versus Leon happening for the November card still? That's all. Have a great day, man.
Answer the second question. I have no idea at this point. I know Tim Simpson, the manager of Leon Edwards, told Submission Radio it's going to be November, December. So I do expect that fight to happen this year. Just what, I don't know when at this point. I do not know when. And then the rest of the middleweights, again, it's kind of hard to say. Without knowing who Sean's going to fight next, it's almost impossible to kind of figure out. But because I do feel like the UFC is just going to do the rematch. And like, I just hate that idea so much. But because if they go the rematch and like everything's off the table, if they do the rematch, Strickland will fight Cannonier. And I think the Hamzat Costa winner like just jumps over DDP, and that's kind of sucks. But if Izzy is going to take a break and take some time off and they want Sean to turn around quick, it will be DDP. It's so hard, man. It's so tough to say. I do feel like the Hamzat Costa winner will get a title shot. I don't know if he'll be the next title shot, but that the winner of that fight's probably not going to have to fight again, especially if Hamzat wins. I don't know. It's really tough to say. You could do Whitaker Cannonier again. That was a pretty fun fight when they fought the first time. But those are the guys right now. It's Strickland, Izzy, DDP, Whitaker, Cannonier, Costa, and Khamzat. Those are the guys. Those are the guys. What a time. What a freaking time to live in. I love it. Yep. What's up, Foreign Sniper?
Hey, heck of a morning. Just real quick, I wanted to get your thoughts on the Dana White post-fight press conference. Him and the reporter went on talking about the main event for about, I think, like 5 or 6 minutes. And it seemed like both of them were sort of giving Izzy a bunch of excuses as to why he lost instead of giving Sean Strickland, you know, his credit that he deserves. Because I personally didn't see anything wrong with Izzy. He did not look slow. He just looked like a man that was getting walked down by another, you know, fighter who was willing to throw some punches and take over the fight. So I just wanted your quick thoughts on that, Mike.
So to be fair, I don't typically watch the Dana post-fight stuff. Like I'll hear clips or whatever, because as the presser's going on, like we're wrapping up the watch party, packing up my shit, walking back to the hotel. And then I have like stuff to do to like kind of cap off the watch party coverage, either, you know, putting the audio on the pod network and like finalizing that, or, you know, we like to put the, I have to go through and put all the timestamps on, and that takes forever to find the moments of like when things happen and like big reactions happened, and putting those out and then putting those on the pod and adding the ads to it. So like by the time I finished that, it's like Sean Strickland was like up there talking. So I missed pretty much all of it, but I kind of got the gist of it. I didn't hear the back and forth, but I obviously I'm aware of what Dana said. Izzy looked slow, all that stuff. He didn't look like himself. And yeah, he didn't look like himself. But the reason for that is because Sean deaded him in the first, almost deaded him in the first round. Sean landed the big right hand. Izzy was out to lunch when he landed that right hand. And then Sean just hit him with like a million left hands over and over again. And to Izzy's credit, he was able to survive and put the thumb up. Mark Goddard was the ref, and I thought he was going to step in there and stop it. And he was also he was the ref for the Pereira fight as well. So he gave Izzy a chance, which you got to give him some credit for, because Izzy didn't have some great things to say about him after the first Pereira fight. And then Goddard was sort of in a position where things are kind of off with at least how Aljamain Sterling feels that, and there were a lot of people on this show the Tuesday after Sean O'Malley won the title that felt like the stoppage was a little too quick and Aljo deserved more time to recover. So credit to Mark Goddard for letting that go. We're having a whole different conversation on this Tuesday. If that fight is stopped while Izzy is standing and he complains about it, we're talking more about fluky, bad stoppage as opposed to what actually happened was Sean just beat his ass for 25 minutes. And yeah, Izzy wasn't the same dude, but it's because Sean made him that way. It's not because Izzy just showed up and had a bad night. Izzy was fighting the Izzy fight for 4 minutes and 30 seconds. And then he got dropped real bad and almost finished. And I don't think Izzy ever recovered from that. And that's all credit to Sean Strickland. That has nothing to do with Izzy being slow or having an off night or whatever. All the credit goes to Sean Strickland. That's it. That's it. Izzy showed up real quick at the presser, said the better man won tonight. And that's what you're supposed to say. But I really hope Izzy just takes a break, man. He needs to recover. He needs to take a break. Just get away from MMA for a little while. Get away from it. Look at Colby. Colby left for a year. Colby left, and it wasn't like Colby didn't just like leave MMA for a year. He like left the public eye for a year. After he beat Masvidal and everything happened with that thing in Miami Beach, like Colby just disappeared, vanished off the face of the earth, and then stepped on a scale and everyone's like, oh shit, Colby's back. And Colby ended up getting a title shot and everyone went bananas. There's nothing wrong with vanishing and then coming back. Let people just be like, oh yeah, it's Izzy. He had a great run. Second best middleweight of all time. Usually we see him every 3 months and now we're waiting 9 months to a year to see him again. Like there's nothing wrong with that. I think that'll actually help him at this point. CV, go ahead.
Hey Mike, heck of a morning. I want to talk about Alex Pereira. Just a couple questions. In hindsight, I know he wanted to move to light heavyweight after their second MMA fight. But in hindsight, do you think they should have just ran the Izzy-Alex trilogy? If, like, you know, it's hard to tell that. I mean, it's hard to, like, predict that this would happen, like Izzy losing his title again. But do you think they should have ran that back when it was hot? And I asked this seriously. If Izzy wants to, do you think Alex would help Izzy train for the Strickland rematch if they do run that back? Thanks.
No, I don't. I don't know. Pereira doesn't seem like that kind of guy that's going to like double dip in these situations. So there's this notion that people are talking about that like Alex wouldn't fight Sean again. And I completely disagree with that. I think Alex would absolutely fight Sean Strickland again, even though they've worked together and have built some kind of bond. But like Sean Strickland's trained in a million places. So, and you think Sean's going to be like, nah, Alex Pereira helped me get ready for Izzy and I trained with him a few times. So I'm not going to fight him. No, Sean will be like, I'll punch that dude right in the face. You knocked me out the first time, try to knock me out again. That's how Sean's going to treat it. But Pereira's already got a title shot. So should they have run that one back? I felt they should have like at the time, but Alex went up to 205. He beat Jan Błachowicz. He's about to fight for the light heavyweight title. I actually kind of think the story's a little more interesting. And we could still do that fight. And I think that's part of the reason why he moved to 205, because they knew Izzy was going to go up. And if Alex Pereira wins the light heavyweight title, Izzy could just go up to 205 and fight him, because the UFC will make that fight in 5 seconds, no matter who's the top dude at 205. So, yeah, after 287, I was like, yeah, they should just do it one more time. Because there was nobody there. This is before we got DDP and Whitaker and all these other things. This is before, like, DDP Izzy got really cooking. We didn't know where Hamzat was. There was, like, nothing really going on at 185 at the time. So at the moment, yes. But then as things played out, this actually worked out better. This worked out better for everybody. Let's go to Cole, then we'll go to Four Corner Sports. We'll get to everybody. Cole, go ahead.
Hi, Mike. I really don't have anything crazy, but I just want your thoughts. Like, what was going through your head when Izzy's just, like, not really throwing back and just keeps getting backed up by Izzy or by Sean? Like, what were you thinking when Izzy's just kind of being stagnant the whole fight? That's all I got.
He wasn't stagnant. I mean, he was, but it's because Sean killed him in the first round. That's why. This wasn't, like, to me, I'm not looking at this like, well, he had a bad night. He didn't show up. He showed up, and then Sean punched him in the face really, really, really hard, and then punched him in the face 35 more times really, really, really hard. And Izzy just wasn't the same. So, yeah, he was stagnant, but he got hit hard, and I don't think he ever fully recovered from it. I really don't. I really don't. I'm curious to see, like, what happened there. I don't know if there's, like, some sort of injury. Maybe Strickland, like, broke a bone in his face or something. Like, I don't know. But even still, you can't use that as an excuse. Sean hurt him real bad in that first round. Sean was putting everything in those punches. If you watch that clip, it's just he's throwing everything he's got. You can hear the grunts. And he was just overwhelming Izzy, so... But man, just kind of going back and looking at round five of this fight and then looking at round five of the Kelvin Gastelum fight, it's just two different guys. Like, he was broke. Sean broke him. Like, Sean broke him. And Gastelum tried to break Izzy, but all he did was fire up Izzy in that fifth round. You see Izzy saying, like, I'm willing to die in here. Telling himself I'm willing to die in here. The head energy was gone. There was none of that energy on Saturday night because Sean had his number. And I think deep down, Izzy knew it. And even Izzy, between round four and round five, telling Eugene, telling his corners, I can't hit him. I can't find my jab. Nothing's working. all credit to Sean Strickland. That first round was wild. Go ahead, Four Corner Sports.
Hey, Mike. So I was looking at the fight, and I was comparing these two fights. Both combat sports, but obviously two different types of combat. Obviously, Strickland versus Adesanya. And I felt like Nixik had Strickland follow this similar game plan that, and I was comparing it because I actually saw this fight the other day because I was just like doing like tape study of Floyd Mayweather versus Canelo. Because if you actually rewatch that fight, Floyd Mayweather Sr. actually tells Floyd Mayweather to pressure and walk forward to Canelo Alvarez. And what ended up happening? Canelo had a terrible performance. He ended up missing over 100 plus strikes towards the head of Mayweather, which allowed Canelo to get tired, and his accuracy was terrible. What happened in the Adesanya fight? Strickland ended up pressuring forward. Adesanya, who was very calculated, missed a whole bunch of punches and kicks. He said he couldn't find his jab. Strickland was able to pressure him, making sure that he was backing down, going on the back foot. And if anybody knows how hard it is to backpedal for that far, it is immensely tough. And that's why you saw that Strickland didn't break a sweat, and Adesanya looked like he doused himself with baby oil. And I believe on the graphic, I think it had shown that Adesanya had missed. Only landed, I think it was like 11% of his head strikes. And I felt like that was something that maybe Nixik had probably worked in with Strickland. Just be more of a pressure fighter, make sure Adesanya feels uncomfortable. He couldn't utilize his kicks. The only time he was able to utilize his kicks was when he was able to stand stagnant. But overall, excellent game plan by Strickland. I really do think that this was, like top-tier stuff that, Nixik ended up doing. I feel like he is in the Mount Rushmore. I still favor Javier Mendez just because of what he's able to do with his pedigree with Cormier, Cain, Islam, Khabib, Luke Rockhold. I still favor Mendez, as the top coach, in my opinion, but that's, that's for up for debate. But as for Strickland, I want to say, don't count down Whitaker. I can see the UFC, saying like a big F you to DDP for declining the fight. And I feel like he was one of the biggest losers. I think Adesanya, I think he shouldn't come back until UFC 300. Make his debut, his return, for that date. I think that would be a banger, put him in with, whether if Strickland's holding the belt or whatnot. And I kind of saw some rumblings of Conor McGregor saying that he wants to fight at 185. I mean, because I think he feels like it's a favorable matchup for him to fight Sean Strickland. I know that people are going to huff and puff about that type of stuff, but, it's just one of those things where I feel like, Strickland has, a whole caveat of different fighters at his disposal who want to fight him now. That's all I got to say.
No, Conor's not fighting Sean Strickland at 185. Let's stop this. Stop it! Stop it! He's got to fight Chandler. He's done 170. No. No, 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 no. No. God, no. Absolutely not. Not in a million years. Should Izzy fight at UFC 300? No. No. He shouldn't fight at UFC 300. He should fight at, International Fight Week at the earliest. He needs to take a breather. He needs to leave. And he needs his team to tell him, dude, relax. You can still headline International Fight Week if it's a big deal. They don't need him for 300. They don't. They do not. So no. And yes, it does create a lot of opportunity at 185. Whitaker's in play. He's not going to get a title shot. He's going to have to win a fight. But he was dead in the, after the DDP loss, he was dead in the water. He was dead in the water. And now Sean Strickland has brought life back to Robert Whitaker's title hopes. It's insane. This whole thing is incredible. It's incredible.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Let's bring in King Cat. King Cat, are you there? Good, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm changing subjects here. I want to know what your thoughts are on this weekend's fight between Valentina and Alexa Grasso. I watched an interview that James Lynch did with Valentina, and she seemed really focused. Right after the fight, she was kind of dismissing Alexa a little bit, but she seems a lot more focused now on James was asking her about, you know, what's next after this? And she's like, I don't know. I just want to focus on this fight. So who do you have in that fight? And then completely off topic, but I was just looking at her Instagram and she hasn't really posted anything, but do you know when Jermaine Durandamy is coming back? Thanks, Mike.
GDR, from what I understand, looking at like the end of the year, maybe November, December for GDR. So that's possible. It seems like that's what she wants. Let me see. This Grasso-Shevchenko fight is really interesting. Because Alexa answered like a ton of questions in that first fight about being able to match Valentina's physicality. Oh man, like I have to lead. Like I'm just looking at it from a betting perspective. Like here's how I'm viewing this, okay? Grasso's the +140 dog. I'm going like the magical money wizard has dropped a $20 bill, and the only thing I could do with this is bet on this fight. I'm betting on Alexa Grasso, 100%. Getting the value, getting the fact that she already finished Valentina, getting the fact that she was able to, I mean, she might have been losing the fight before that happened. I don't know. It's close. But I don't know. Sometimes a fighter just has your number, and maybe Alexa has it, but this is a super interesting fight. It's a really interesting fight, and it's kind of getting lost in the shuffle with all of the Sean Strickland stuff. We get a title fight for free on Saturday. Probably get like a top to bottom, like better card on Saturday for free than we had on Saturday. Because Saturday, like if you really want to look at it, it was a one fight card. And most people felt like Izzy was just going to walk through Sean Strickland. And it was just going to either be Izzy killing him in two rounds or Izzy doing the cannoneer thing and just outpointing him for 25 minutes. But Sean Strickland's like, nope, I don't listen to any of that shit. And it was great. So, but yeah, I'm really interested in this fight. Really interested to see if Shevchenko can bounce back. And really interested to see where this division goes. Because, I mean, a lot of it's going to depend on this fight. It's going to depend on this fight. If Grasso wins, I think Aaron Blanchfield's going to get the title shot. And if Shevchenko wins, I think they're going to do it again. And I think they'll do Blanchfield versus Manon Fiorro. And we'll go from there. But golly, man, this is a big fight. I'm looking forward to it. But it's one of those things we're going to have to wait till like Friday to get super excited because we're going to be talking about Sean Strickland like through Thursday at this point because of how incredible this moment was and how out of nowhere this moment was. Henderson, go ahead, my man.
Hey, Mike. Great show so far. And I mean, what a crazy weekend of fights. I feel just like you, I felt the vibes when that Australian dude, Jenkins or whatever, when he got out by injury, I was like, oh, things are starting to go weird now. And then once there was all the homophobic slurs flying and things were looking bleak, I knew it was the night of the Sean. And he really came back from, honestly, he looked super nervous all the way into this fight. But also, like you said, he had nothing to lose. And there's a video that's come out of him training with Alex Pereira. And one thing that it seems like they were working on is that Sean like is so good about parrying strikes, blocking any strikes to the head. And I was going to talk about that a little bit more too, but It seems like Alex was just telling him, when you counterpunch, don't be trying to block and counterpunch at the same time. You know, don't be trying to dodge Izzy strikes when you're also trying to throw a counter. And that seems to be just what he did in that first round, was that Izzy really felt like, oh, he threw a jab, he'll probably try and block this kick or something, block this punch. No, he was trying to throw straight, and he got him right off the start. And then, like you said, I think Izzy has kind of lost some of his fire. And when things started to go wrong, it maybe became more about, I don't want to get knocked out, you know? So he didn't get knocked out. And I mean, he'll find a way to come back from this. Maybe he should just take the time and move up in weight and use this time as like a break and also time to gain some weight. But one other thing I want to mention is that I think someone who's not getting the credit that they deserve is the soldier of God himself, Yoel Romero, because when he fought Izzy, he really proved if you make Izzy lead the dance, it doesn't look as good as when Izzy can counter. And Yoel was blocking the strikes, he was parrying the strikes, but Yoel didn't have that element of marching forward. At least in that fight, he definitely didn't. And that allowed Izzy to squeak out that weirdo decision. But Sean, if you keep advancing and blocking, eventually you're going to hit the cage. And that really worked out for him. So just wanted to give those points and see if you saw any Yoel Romero in the Sean victory there.
It's so funny that like you mentioned that, because even on the preview show, like I was laying out all these different scenarios that could happen. And by the end of it, by the end of the preview show on Friday, I was like, I'm starting to talk myself into this. Like, not that I was picking Sean, but that I was like, you know what? I'm actually starting to prepare myself for this world. And if you watch the watch party on Saturday, as the night progressed, the vibes are getting up there. And I was starting to feel it. I was starting to feel it. I was like, oh man, like it just feels like something weird's gonna happen. Even throughout, like, I'm starting to feel like Sean's gonna go out in 49-46, Izzy. Like, it's just that kind of a weird vibe. And I had no insight, I had no technical breakdown, and you know me well enough to know I'm not going to be like, I told you so, because it was a complete vibes thing. It was just what I was feeling at the time as the night progressed. Not as much as Sean O'Malley, because I said that a bunch too. Like, the Sean O'Malley thing, like being in Boston during fight week before I headed out to New York on fight night, it just felt that it was in the air that Sean O'Malley is going to be undeniable. It just felt that way all week long, from the press conference to media day to the weigh-ins, official and ceremonial. Like, it just felt like on that night, Sean O'Malley was not going to lose. I didn't have that same powerful feeling with this one, but this is more like, oof, it feels weird. It feels like something very weird's going to happen. Like, chaos is going to ensue. And it did. And we are in a much better place. We're in a much better place for it. I love when this stuff happens because you don't get it anywhere else. Football, it can be Harper. Like, look at Aaron Rodgers. Just got reported Aaron Rodgers out for the year. In MMA, it's just the guy that no one thought could win could just go in there and win and do it in such dominant fashion. And that's why this is the best sport in the world. It's the best sport in the world. It's incredible. This is just all incredible. Daniel, go ahead.
Hey, Mike. Heck of a morning to you. Absolutely crazy weekend. Just still can't believe it. I mean, I'm just going to keep it short here. Over under 1.5 title defenses for Sean Strickland. Thanks, Mike.
Oh man, you're going to make me do this. Oh man. I don't know if I could, I'll say under, but like, who? I don't know. Like, we don't know. Like, I just don't know. Maybe he turned the corner. Like, maybe he has, like, officially turned the corner. Maybe he will be – maybe he will defend the title, like, 8 times in a row. You just don't know. But if I have to go on my gut right now, it kind of just depends on who he fights. Now, if he fights Izzy again, I think he wins again. I think he wins again. I would pick him to win again. But if Izzy won, like, I wouldn't be shocked by it. If he fights DDP, I don't know if I have the same confidence. If he fights Costa, that's interesting. If he fights Chimaev, if Chimaev just runs Paulo Costa and just slams him and taps him in a round, then, I mean, I would pick Chimaev against anybody. I'll say under, because worst case, he's going to get the Izzy fight, and I think he can win that one. And I think, honestly, these other fights are kind of really tough for him. But doesn't mean he can't win. I'm done just completely doubting the man, but you could say the same thing about Sean O'Malley right now if you really break it down. And Sean and Strickland's on the same place as O'Malley right now. Like, O'Malley can really control what happens next. He can say, oh, I'm going to fight Chito Vera next. And even though Merab is right there, and even though Corey Sandhagen has a case for a title shot, even though Aljamain Sterling has a case for a rematch, Sean O'Malley is a big enough star to be like, nah, I'm just going to fight Chito. It's the biggest fight you can make. And Sean's just going to be like, I don't care who you tell me to fight, I'm just going to fight him. So different paths for both guys, but I'll say under, but I am not confident in that after seeing this performance. We're trying to get Berserk in here.
Hey, I just wanted to put
get
in
the Wheel of Doom going.
What's going on, guys? Can you guys hear me? Hello?
The Wheel of Doom continues to spin. Berserk, do we have you?
Hello? Hello, hello.
Hello.
All right.
Hello.
Yeah, I just wanted to put in a couple of words and about the Izzy fight. I feel like Sean, he actually, you know, trained real hard for that fight. I heard he was actually training with Alex Pereira for that fight and Jalen Turner. And he was actually, yeah, I feel like Sean actually controlled the fight. Like, anybody he fights, he turns it into, like, a sparring match. And I feel like he had Izzy against, you know, like, his like, back foot, like, throughout the whole fight. And to be honest, I really didn't expect Izzy to, like, lose. But I thought Sean would – I thought he would at least, like, knock out Sean. But – just like you said, I was feeling like a weird little feeling throughout the whole fight. I feel like if you like an MMA fan, you know when you feel that weird little feeling, and you know, and something like it's like that thought telling you like take the under bet, but you just don't do it or whatever. But regardless, yeah, I feel like I ain't taking nothing from Sean, but I really feel like he's gonna have a good run, and yeah, if you really look at his fights throughout his whole career, he actually been putting in a lot of good work. So even with Alex Pereira, yeah, he got caught weird if you really watch that fight. So like I feel like Sean Strickland is gonna have a long run. Okay.
He could. It's very possible. And see, this is one of those interesting times because even on the preview shows, and can you imagine if Sean Strickland goes out there and has like a Cody Garbrandt Dominic Cruz performance where he just because like I think like some people saw a world where Sean could just come out and the big shot like we saw first round, but just a lot of people saw him just going up dominating Izzy over 25 minutes. I just don't think that was the case. And even with the Garbrandt Cruz fight, like if Garbrandt was going to be Dominic Cruz, a lot of people felt like with the run Cody Garbrandt was on at the time, he was just going to knock him out. He was, like, styling on Dominic Cruz. He was big for his miss. He was dancing around the cage. It was like an incredible performance. One of the best challenge performances, kind of like this one, but in different ways. Strickland's is more of a workman-like performance, which you got to respect the hell out of it. But now what? That's the big question, because we saw what happened with Cody. Cody hasn't been the same since. Got knocked out by TJ Dillashaw twice. Lost to Rob Font. Knocked out by Pedro Munhoz. Like, just kept getting knocked out. Knocked out by Kai Kara France. Wins a not-so-memorable decision against Trevin Jones. And he just hasn't been the same guy after having that performance. It's kind of to explain how high everybody was on Cody Garbrandt at the time after that win. And now we'll see. Sean goes up there, fights DDP, and does the same thing to DDP. Then this isn't just like chaos. This is the man has turned the corner. So maybe he does go on a long run. maybe that's what happens. Sean Strickland would be the second greatest middleweight of all time. And someone mentioned something earlier about, you know, what if it comes back and like wins three in a row? Can he? No, that conversation is over. The conversation is over. Anderson Silva is the greatest middleweight of all time. The fact that we're doing this, and Sean Alshad said it just absolutely beautifully on the post-fight show, we have to stop jumping on this. Well, if he wins, is he the greatest of all time? One, that's disrespectful to the guys in the generation before that. And two, you're putting just so much unnecessary pressure on the fighter trying to cement their legacies themselves. We did it with Kamaru Usman. We did it with Israel Adesanya. And like I've said on the show a million times, both those guys were nowhere near being the GOATs. They needed like five more wins each. Like Usman was way too soon. Way too soon. Izzy, yeah, you can say he's the second best right now. That's fine. You can make that case and it's fine. But he was still so far away from Anderson. Anderson won 10 in a row before the Chris Weidman fights. 10 title defenses in a row. You know how hard that is? You know how difficult that is? I don't know if we're ever going to see that again in this sport. Someone winning a belt and defending it 10 times in a row? I don't know if we're going to see it. We have to stop this, ladies and gentlemen. We have to stop this. Oh, they defended the title 3 times in a row. Oh, are they the GOAT? No. No, it's too soon. There's no need to put that extra pressure on. Now, if they get to 8, different conversation. They get to 9 in a row, yeah, we could start talking about it. Remember when DJ went on that run? We weren't even talking about DJ being in that conversation till he got to the record. And now it's just like you win three, you defend the title 3 times in a row, and oh, is it time to start talking about that he's the greatest of all time in this division? We got to pump the brakes on that stuff. We got to pump the brakes on that stuff. Let's go to Joe. Joe, hello.
Hey, what's up, Mike? I had a really, really good time Saturday. The whole main card was awesome. But I know it sounds funny as hell, but what I will say is, and I'm not trying to take anything away from Sean. I've actually been defending him a lot on social media, saying he did what he had to do to get that dub. But did you feel like leading into the fight and the press conferences and all that stuff that we didn't see the same persona that Izzy always portrays in the like pressers and then the lead up to the fight? I just felt that, I don't know, there was something different about him. And then in the interview before, you know how like when we see people that have like really bad weight cuts, they look really drained. I don't think I saw that with Izzy, but he had that facial expression that people normally have. I think it was when he had an interview with the Megan O'Leary or someone else. I couldn't remember, but I don't know. I just want to get your thoughts on that, man. And have a great day.
I actually thought Sean looked worse than Izzy. I thought he looked a lot worse. You saw the videos like coming out when he was doing the weigh-in show. He looked rough, like real rough. So I don't know, man. Like maybe it's the how Sean was acting. You know, maybe, I don't know. Like Sean isn't going to fall for any of it. There's no mental warfare against Sean Strickland. Like there's nothing you're going to say that's going to rattle him. There's nothing you're going to say that's going to shut him up. Nothing's going to change who Sean is and Sean's focus and stuff. And a lot of people are saying like, oh, Sean looks so nervous coming out. And maybe you can attribute some of that to nerves, but that was a look on Sean's face that we never really see. Like when he walked out to fight Abus Magomedov, that look of focus was not on his face. He was just like, yes, I get to go do what I love most, and that's punch people in the face. When he walked out to fight Nasruddin, same thing. Just, okay, I'm going to go in the cage and fight people because that's what I like to do. This was a different look. This was a, all right, the nerves are there, but if you talk to anyone who plays sports, like, and even whatever job you do, even when I do this show, like there are nerves before I go on a post fight show or do the watch party. Like the nerves are there. It's not like the first one. First one was a whole different feeling, but like now like the nerves are still there. And when you lose those nerves, that's when like you feel things are wrong. And Sean just like had that look on his face where he's like, I ain't rattled by this moment at all. And oftentimes Izzy will fight guys that are rattled by the moment. I think you kind of saw it with Jared Cannonier. Like he didn't want to be doing any of that shit. He didn't want to be doing the press conference and media days and stuff. He just wanted to get to the fight. And there's more to just being a UFC fighter in a headline spot than just fighting. You got to go and do all the interviews and you got to get asked the same questions over and over again. And that could be draining. And Sean was just like, I don't give a shit. Like that's the job. I'm just going to do the job. So no, I didn't really think Izzy was off. I think when you really noticed it is after he got knocked down and he just wasn't the same. So I don't know. Maybe Izzy will come out and do something on his YouTube channel and explain himself what happened. I was really much intrigued by him showing up to the post-fight press conference to hear what he had to say. And I actually don't blame him for just going in, saying a quick thing, and then turning it over to Eugene. I think that was pretty smart. Izzy's just got to kind of choose his words carefully. And I don't think Izzy wants to take anything away from Sean. And anything he says is going to sound like an excuse. And I think Izzy's just trying to avoid that, which I think is pretty smart. All right, Dylan, you're going to take us home, my man. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering if a new mythical creature was born Saturday night, and that's girlfriend Sean Strickland. That's all. Thanks, Mark.
kind of wholesome Sean Strickland? Yeah, that was kind of cool, right? Seeing him, like, holding hands with his girlfriend and walking through Sydney and checking out the sights. That was kind of fun. Different side of Sean. Maybe we could get wifed up Sean Strickland versus nose surgery DDP next. Mythical creature versus mythical creature. The things we find in the sport, absolutely incredible. All right, everybody. Well, I think we have talked not enough about this because we're never going to stop talking about this. This is one of those moments that's going to live on forever. We got MMA Hour tomorrow. BTL is going to be super fun on Thursday reacting to all of this. And then we get ready for Noche UFC. So keep it locked, MMAfighting.com. And we'll continue talking about Sean Strickland being the freaking middleweight champion of the world. So thank you all very much. Back on Thursday here at 10 a.m. Eastern, we'll do it again. Hopefully no power outages. But until then, everybody, enjoy the rest of your day. And as always, have a heck of a morning.
Media Podcast Network.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prof G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prof G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prof G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this podcast came from SAS. Data is everything. And now everything is data, which means more to process, more to analyze. And now more than ever, speed to answers matters. So how do you produce those answers as fast as the world produces data? With SAS Viya, the quickest way from a billion points of data to a point of view. It's a more productive data and AI platform that helps you get more done. Learn more today at sas.com/VIYA.